start from the beginning. Maybe you could tell me a little background before the strike, like where and when you were born and how you came to Seattle and that sort of thing.
My mother and father took me up to Alaska. My father worked in Alaska, and after I finished grade school in Alaska, they sent me out every fall, and I'd go home in the spring, so I practically grew up in and around Seattle. So when I got out of school, I went in the Army, and I was in the university, and got in through the Student Army Training Corps at the time. And after the war, I'm probably one of the first servicemen to go to work in the yard. I still had my uniform on, as I say. I hung steel plates on the side of a hull without even a pair of gloves in the middle of winter, December or around that time. Afterwards, apprenticed myself in the machine shop. And when the machinists went on strike, I went and talked to the engineer on the boat and hired on and sailed to the boat. So I was gone when the general strike was here. And as I say, I'm sure the general strike hadn't been called before I left, because I was riding the streetcars.
You say you thought that most of the machinists that you worked with were in favor of the strike when it was called?
Oh, I wouldn't say that, no. Because I was just a kid, and I don't know too much about what was happening at the time. I went along with the people I was working with, and they wanted to strike, but I went with them.
When they decided to strike, did they feel they were striking for the skilled workers or for the unskilled workers?
No, I think that they were striking to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
And probably a few working conditions too. I don't recall what they were.
Let me go back a little. See, your father was up in Alaska, and your mother, what sort of jobs did they do up there?
Well, my father went up as a, I don't know what you would call him. He had charge of a, it was a company that afterwards revamped themselves and became the Copper River Northwestern. And he went up to take charge of supplies. They had about 5,000 men working there at the time, and he ordered all the supplies for the camp. And I guess he was the auditor, whatever it was, the whole business. And then when they abandoned this camp and went up to Cordova to and built the Copper River Northwestern Railway up there, he just stayed on, and he was the last one there at the camp. In fact, he retired in the camp there. They sent me out to school every winter and left me home in the spring.
So you just stayed in Seattle then afterwards? Was Seattle more of your home then than Alaska?
Well, yes, and I was going to school. I was going to university at the time, before I enlisted. And then when they formed the Student Army Training Corps, they took in all the university students. I was shooting for an officer's training camp at the time. That was a big thing that interested me.
What were people saying about the idea of a strike at the time? Were people, did it just seem like a normal strike to people, or was it different than other strikes?
No, there was none. I suppose you'd call it activism, but there was none of that. At the time, there was a lot of that after the war, but it was later. It was after I came back after this trip that we went through that activist. And, we had the IWWs and At one time, I thought of joining. Did you ever hear of the Silver Shirts? Well, they were a group of people that were organized to stage upright citizens, organized to sort of combat the activism that was going on at the time. And they wore a silver patch on a work shirt, and that was their identification.
How were they going to combat the activism?
How were what?
How were they going to fight against the activism? Was this against the IWW?
Over a baseball bat.
Uh-huh. Were those the people?
In those days, well, they not only used their fists, but there were lots of men that club, cars turned over and things like that. I never took part in any of that stuff.
Were they some of the people who were involved in the attacks on the IWW headquarters in Seattle and Everett and places like that?
You're talking about asking questions of a school kid at that time who didn't understand what was going on.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't either if you were that age now.
So you'd remember, say, who called the strike? What sort of people? Was it, do you remember if it was the IWW or whether it was the unions?
Well, the strike started with the machinists.
The machinists themselves.
The machinists themselves went out for $1 an hour, and that was all I knew about it, was they wanted $1 an hour. Possibly there was fringe benefits too. But what else they wanted or why, and then how the rest of these people come in, I suppose they honored the picket line and it just snowballed.
Uh-huh. Do you think that the strike was worth it for labor?
No, it wasn't, because it broke unionism right in the town here, and they were years and years recovering what they'd gained.
Could you tell me a little bit more about why, how you think it broke unionism in the town?
Well, apparently the citizens themselves weren't entirely in favor of it. I don't know. I don't really know why, but the strike was broken, and we had non-union shops around here for years after that. It was in the middle 30s before they started to even started recovering from all those things.
And you think that that was because of the strike, because of the general strike, that the non-union shop first came to Seattle?
Well, we had non-union shops here long before that. But some of the more skilled crafts were the first ones to organize and probably stayed with.
Uh-huh. Do you remember people talking about the strike after it was over when you came back?
No.
It wasn't a topic of conversation that people talked about a lot?
No, not as far as I know. I didn't. I don't recall it.
Did you know, or do you remember some of the people, the famous people there, like Ole Hansen?
Well, I didn't know Ole Hansen. I know who he was. He was the mayor. Supposedly, he took his cut from the buying the railway, the price the city paid for the streetcar system, moved to California. But I don't know anything about it.
Uh-huh. How about Anna Louise Strong?
Well, just what I read.
Uh-huh. You didn't
I didn't know her first time.
Did you know any of the people who were in the IWW?
Oh, pretty much everybody carried a card.
Carried an IWW card?
Well, all of the boomers did anyhow, because they couldn't get a meal and a rest. He's over in Montana especially. And you couldn't get a waitress wouldn't serve you unless you had a card. And the place of thumb and arrived with now like they do now, they rode the trains. And your IWW card was practically a pass. I never had one, no.
But most people you knew did.
Oh, lots of people.
What were boomers?
Boomers?
Yeah.
Well, boom, town flights, and there's a lot of these construction workers that work one job after another, and you follow from one boom town to another.
And you had to have a an IWW card, usually?
You didn't have to, but it was kind of an entree.
How did you feel about them then? How did you feel about the IWW then?
Oh, I wasn't in favor of their ideology at the time. There wasn't anything there that appealed to me.
Do you remember what most of your friends, is that pretty much what most of your friends thought about them?
Now listen, you're getting kind of personal here in a lot of your questions, and I'm not too sure I like this.
Well,
if you want to ask me questions, that's fine. But why? What about my friends? I let them speak for themselves.
Well, I don't know if I could how to find that many people. So when I find someone who knows those times, I try to ask them about as much of the feeling of that time as possible. We only know what books tell us. We don't know what people who were there thought about it.
Well, we knew that there was this end. It was not only common gossip, it was in the newspapers. I asked you if you knew John Miller. John Miller was one of those that came in on a boat and tried to land at Everett. And the citizens come down with rifles. I talk about using a baseball bat, they use rifles up there. And that was, I got my information out of the newspaper.
The newspapers sometimes, though, aren't as accurate as what people remember.
What?
I said the newspapers aren't always as accurate as what people remember.
Well, I don't know how accurate they were about it. We do know that the incident happened up there. And at the time that... Well, this was after the war, too, probably after I came back and joined the American Legion. We had three factions going in this town. I can't remember just exactly what year it was, but there was a mayoralty election. We were electing the mayor, and there were three men running for mayor. Jimmy Duncan and Fitzgerald and Caldwell. Jimmy Duncan was labor, and the Union Record was a labor paper and supported Jimmy Duncan. And Hugh Caldwell was an ex-service man, and he was backed by the ex-service people. And Fitzgerald was a businessman. They were running neck and neck for mayor. And some of the smart money in town, I found out afterwards, went down and bet a dollar on each man in the primary. We have a primary election and then a general election. And in the primary election, why, they have a field and they elect two men. And there were only three men in the field. So you bet a dollar on each man, and two of them are bound to win.
Duncan didn't win that election, though.
Huh?
Duncan didn't win that election.
I think Jimmy Duncan won that election and was the mayor. And I can't recall. American Legion, which was the ex-servicemen at the time, I think they got out a small paper of their own at the time, but well, they were backed principally by a Star paper, which is defunct now, and I know the Times was back in Fitzgerald. They've always been in business. That's their lifeblood, advertising. So,
Well, I want to ask you a couple of questions about after the strike, things that have happened after the strike.
After the strike?
Things generally. I want to ask your opinion about some things, like, what do you think have been the most important events in the country or in the world since that time?
Find out that is very great importance that is going to influence the United States, is influencing the United States at the present time. And that was the Bolshevik revolution in Russia and the growth of the Soviet Union. It has had a terrific influence on the United States. Thinking and nationally.
What kind of influence do you?
Well, trade for one. You're competitive, very competitive. And the present time is questioning if we've got a gun, now you're going to have one too, just in case. I want a big one.
What did you think of the civil rights movement when that was happening?
Well, the civil rights movement didn't affect me too much. And I never saw much reason for it here in Seattle. I know a good many colored people. Colored people were the Negro was the man who probably most interested and most active in the civil rights movement. And I have worked with them, I went to school with them, and I lived neighbors to them. And I never felt any discrimination toward them. In the school, and my schoolwork, when they were in my classes, they took the same things that I did. They had the same advantages that I had. They studied out of the same book, took the same examinations. And even to this day, after I retired, first thing I did was go down and register down at a trade school, Seattle Community College. And those people just weren't interested. There was a few of them, or the broadcast stations are crying for colored people so that they can fulfill their,
the affirmative action program.
Yeah, the affirmative action program. But in order to work technically in a broadcast station, you have to have a third class, or at least a second class, phone license. And these people, not enough of them, are ambitious enough to go down and get it. It's not their color, it's their attitude. I've known some very fine old people that I like a good deal. And as I say, I worked with them, and the friends that I have who are colored now, I think do well to bet that they'd say that I never expressed any discrimination. So as far as I'm concerned, I never saw any necessity for the movement here in Washington, or that is Seattle. Down south, I've been down south. I got a boy now that just moved out of Huntsville, Alabama. And I've been down there to see him two or three times, and brother, I'm telling you, that's terrific down there. You can throw the cat out through the catch and through the cracks in the wall. Just plain board shacks set up on, and they said I have to set them up above the ground on account of the termites.
How do you feel about the labor movement today?
there are radicals in the labor movement. You know, one thing that we have got to watch out for is organized crime taking over. But as far as my own union goes, I was a member of the executive board for 16 years. And we had up to around 6,000 people membership. In fact, I think it was around 6,500. And I'm all for a well-organized conservative labor union.
How did you feel then about the student anti-war movement of the 60s?
The what?
The student anti-war movement.
Oh, I thought it was very kiddish. I didn't think that there was any reason for that either. I had a 16-year-old boy work one summer down cast and lead, and he was already enlisted and just waiting until they called him. And he'd come home, he was working with a bunch of radicals down there, and he'd come home and he says, this is wrong and that's wrong, and but we're going to change it when I get back, he says. And that's the same as some of these guys. I don't blame a man for not wanting to go out and get shot at. But the people that I resent are the people that not only ducked the draft and deserted from the army to keep from going to Vietnam, but why in the hell did they have to go to some other country and someplace else and try and run down the United States government? And now they want back in. I don't believe it. I don't blame them for not wanting to get shot at. But when there's no reason in my book that he should go out and run his country down. And that's what a lot of them did.
And finally, I want to ask you what you felt about the women's movement.
Fetish,
you say?
Well, I can see a lot, but I can see, I've been through a lot of this too, and my opinion don't make any difference as far as women. You want to know what I do? I vote against it. I think they got plenty of reasons. I believe they should be given more consideration for the pay they get, probably. But I know damn well that how they're coming in work that I used to do and be connected with, and they want to climb poles, and that's heavy work for a woman. A woman's got no business doing it physically as well as mentally. So I still like the idea of my wife was a woman, her husband and wife, woman and man. I'm going to have to cut this off.
Okay, fine.
But I'll be back, and after a while.